For years, the model for global recycling was pretty simple. Throw it in a bin, then let China deal with sorting the mess. But no longer. It's been a year since China got tough with our trash, and the changes are still sending ripples up and down the recycling chain. The world's Jason Margolis has our story.
At the Mohawk Paper Mill in Cohoes, New York, just north of Albany, paper engineer Paul Graver walks past stacks of what look like really soft white cardboard.
This would be a softwood, so it's like pine and spruce.
These sheets of fiber are then put in a big blender and mixed with hot water.
So it's about the consistency of oatmeal.
After a process of drying, adding starch and various coatings, as well as a few other cool tricks, this mill can churn out 150 tons of paper a day. Mohawk produces high-grade stuff for stationery, photo books, and marketing materials. But if they're running a batch using recyclables and there's just a little bit of contamination in there, it can ruin Graver's day.
All it takes is one sheet of cardboard mixed in with all the white paper. Those little brown fibers will be viewed as a contaminant, and you can't make nice, bright white paper out of stuff that's full of contaminants.
So how do these contaminants get into a batch at Mohawk in the first place? It all starts with you and me. The vast majority of us who recycle in the United States throw it all, cans, bottles, paper, whatever, into one bin to be hauled off by a truck.
People put things in the bin that can't really be recycled, and the industry has started calling that wish cycling.
Susan Collins is president of the Container Recycling Institute.
So a quarter of what we put into those recycling bins doesn't get recycled, either because it was improperly placed in the bin in the first place, or because it cross-contaminates other materials in the bin.
And that's what China doesn't want to deal with anymore. But recycling doesn't have to be so contaminated. Jay Hunsberger is with Sustana, a company that takes in used paper and turns it into pulp fiber. He used to live in Sweden. Here's how he recycled there.
I had a couple of different bags I would have in the house, and I would put tin and metal or those types of things in one. I would put colored glass in one and clear glass in another.
Then he took all his bags down the street.
And then I would put the objects into each of these bins. There was a light bulb one. There's a battery one.
But come on, that's Sweden. No way that could work here.
You do it as part of your cycle of errands, so I'll go from here to the post office.
I met John Spencer in the town of Wellesley's recycling center west of Boston. Spencer walks to stations with poster-sized photos of four types of plastic, six types of paper, metals, and other random objects. He's got a lot of stops to make.
Well, today I'm doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Eventually, he gets to
12. And that's
coming back to do put some brush into the brush dump, too. So 13 total.
Even though it's literally a dump, Wellesley's operation is clean and well-organized. But isn't this a huge pain in the...
Oh, I love doing it.
What do you mean you love doing it? Most people don't love recycling.
It's the right thing to do. And people take pleasure where they can.
Okay, whatever floats your boat. Still, Chris Wood, who was dropping off her cans and bottles, hit me with a dose of reality.
No, it's a pain. It's a pain.
But she does it because she believes that Wellesley's system is better for the environment. The town doesn't have to pay extra for the disposal of contaminated recycling that goes to a landfill. And the town makes decent money off its paper, cans, and bottles because they're significantly cleaner than single-stream recycling.
In any given year, we're averaging about $400,000 for the sale of recyclable product.
Jeff Azano-Brown runs the recycling center here. A bit about Wellesley. It's a small, affluent suburb that began recycling way back in the early 1970s. It's fair to say it's an outlier. But even Wellesley's recycling stream isn't clean enough for China's new protocols, dubbed National Sword.
Since National Sword, we haven't been moving material to China.
But Wellesley has plenty of other willing buyers.
Indonesia, Malaysia, Canada, New York. So
good for Wellesley. But having a backup plan after China isn't an option for a lot of municipalities. Again, Susan Collins.
Nobody wants contaminated materials. They can't use contaminated materials to make a fine product. So if you have really, really clean recyclables that your community is producing, you're going to be the first choice for the buyers.
So as bales of cans, bottles, and papers pile up, China's Get Tough policies are forcing communities across the globe, from California to Australia to Europe, to rethink recycling. The company Sustana is trying to raise the bar even higher, working with companies like Starbucks to employ what's called a closed-loop system. Jay Hunsberger says, in an ideal world, we'd buy a cup of coffee.
And then the consumers take that cup and throw it back in a bin before they leave or somewhere else. That then gets collected, shipped back to us.
From cup to pulp fiber to cup. With every old discarded cup lies a new opportunity to make a...
Cleaner recycling won't just take improved logistics, though. It will take a major mental shift. For decades, we've been taught that recycling is a money loser, but we do it for the environment. But the Swedes and residents of Wellesley, Massachusetts can show us something. If cardboard cans and bottles are treated like real commodities and not just trash, that can be worth some real money. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.